Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
It's May 1st, 1863, and another remarkable event is about to be uncovered by Ariel, Rebecca, and Ali, the Retrospectors.
When John Joseph Clem enlisted in the 22nd Michigan Infantry today in history in 1863, he was just another one of the 2.6 million soldiers fighting in the Union Army uniform during the US Civil War. The difference was that his uniform required some adjustments, because Johnny Clem was 11 years old and was soon to become the most famous drummer boy in America.
Yeah, when the American Civil War broke out in April 1861, it was really a kind of all-hands-on-deck situation for both the Union and Confederate armies. All men of fighting age were expected to take part. Of course, no one expected children to participate, but that's exactly what John Clem hoped to do.
His first attempt to do so was understandably rejected. Not only was he legally too young for combat, he self-evidently was. The Civil War was a time where lots of people, when asked by the officer, "And how old are you, son?" would say, "I'm 18," and they were actually 14, and we all know that happened. But at a 9-year-old, and not just any 9-year-old, a particularly young-looking 9-year-old, because he became a bit of a celebrity, and that wasn't until he was like 11, we have photos of him, and he looked young for his age. He's 4 foot tall. So, this little kid coming up to you and saying, "I want to join your army."
Yeah. So his father had remarried soon after his mother was killed, and it's thought that maybe conflict with his stepmother precipitated Johnny's decision to run away from home. Also, he would have been familiar with the image of the brave little drummer boy. This was a very popular sentimental trope of the 19th century, romanticized in paintings and poems.
Ba-ra-pa-pum-pum.
Yeah, that hadn't come out yet. However, it's worth saying that the evidence suggests the vast majority of real-life drummers in European and US armies during this period were ordinary adult men, which didn't necessarily impede the legend. André Estienne, who was a drummer in Napoleon's army who led a charge in 1796, was celebrated as the little drummer boy of Arcole, despite the fact he was 19, which you can imagine he absolutely hated. So was inspired by these notions that were very popular at the time. As Clem tells it in his autobiography, he presented himself at the nearest encampment and offered his services to the 3rd Ohio Regiment, who basically laughed and were like, "Go on home." However, what happened then was that the regiment received orders to move out, and Clem simply got on the train with them to Cincinnati. I feel like this is an era where letting a 9-year-old boy ride with you to a random city was seen as an amusing prank, you know? When he got there, he approached the 22nd Michigan Infantry. He wrote in his memoir, "This time I was not to be kept from joining by mere legal obstacle. I went along with the regiment just the same as a drummer boy, and though not on the muster roll, drew a soldier's pay of $13 a month. The pay was not drawn from government funds, however. It came out of the personal pockets of officers of the regiment who chipped in to make up the amount. What happened today is the day he finally appears on the muster roll, when we know for sure he definitely was serving at the age of 11.
Yeah, that autobiography you mentioned was entitled From Nursery to Battlefield, which in his case was a surprisingly short distance. But he was given what he described as a soldier's uniform cut down by their regimental tailor from a man's size. And the historical record shows that at the age of 11, Clem was made a private within the regiment on May the 1st in 1863. But he probably had very little idea of what he was getting himself into, because After the Battle of Gettysburg, one of the first battles that he was almost certainly involved in, the Battle of Chickamauga, was regarded as the second deadliest clash of the Civil War, that after Gettysburg. And over the 3 days of September 1863 that it was fought, Union and Confederate troops engaged in this really fierce combat near the Chickamauga Creek in northern Georgia, with the Confederates aiming to basically stop the Union's southward march. And even though it was successful, the victory came at an enormously high cost, resulting in 34,000 casualties, including 18,000 Confederate soldiers. So he would have been seeing the actual worst of battle firsthand. So all of his romantic notions of what he was getting himself in for would have very quickly been scuppered.
Yeah, and the role of the drummer, by the way, it isn't just ceremonial, it is practical. I mean, still is the case in armies now. The drummer is there so that in the noise and confusion of a battle, if you can't hear the officer's orders, you can hear the drumbeat, and the drumbeats represent different things. Meet here, attack now, retreat. It's actually a really important role to give a child. And also, the little drummer boys that there were, like we said, most of them were adolescents rather than children, but their role on the battlefield, just because they didn't necessarily have guns, was not something to be taken lightly. Stretcher bearing was one of the tasks that was often given to drummer boys, which meant going back through the field to see who's still alive, who requires medical assistance, and then lugging them back. So, you know, this is a really intense role to play.
Yeah, he would become remembered in the popular imagination as Johnny Shiloh due to an often repeated legend that his drum was blown apart by an enemy shell at the Battle of Shiloh in April 1862. And this actually was a story Clem himself repeated in his memoir, but he probably wasn't Shiloh because the 22nd Michigan wasn't actually formed until after that battle. What was his more accurate but less popular nickname was the drummer boy of Chickamauga. He was definitely present at this battle carrying a miniature musket, which is less cute when you find out that the rest of the story is that he supposedly used this miniature musket to shoot a Confederate colonel who ordered him to surrender and called him a damned little Yankee devil.
Yeah, news of his actions then spread rapidly in the North, which really provided a much-needed morale boost for the Union Army. That was when
mad that this was considered a morale boost.
Yeah. Child soldiers, yeah.
I suppose it's at least amusing, if nothing else, that you know, a kid shot a colonel in the face. But that was when he got that name, the drummer boy of Chickamauga, in the press, and he became celebrated as a figure across the Union. Chicago women banded together to send him a custom-made uniform after they acquired his measurements from his comrades.
Guys band together to get him off the battlefield.
Yeah, that would be sensible. Take him home, raise him, teach him mathematics. But Clem's fame really didn't shield him from any of those realities of war. And just a few weeks after the battle that made him famous came to an end, Clem was then captured in Georgia by Confederate forces. And he was brought before Joseph Wheeler, who was then a major general, who allegedly said, "See to what sore straits the Yankees are driven when they have to send their babies to fight us." So he sort of became a propaganda tool for both sides.
Yeah, although Clem was at the more extreme end in terms of youth, as you hint at, he was far from alone. It's estimated that there were at least 100,000 boys under 16 in the Union ranks, and probably a similar proportion on the Confederate side. Most of those underage recruits, as you said earlier, they were, you know, teens who lied about being 18 to enlist as regular troops. But the most obviously youthful, like Clem, tended to be accepted as drummer boys, which was technically a non-combat role. The youngest soldier of the war was another drummer boy, Edward Black, who enlisted in the 21st Indiana Infantry with his father at the age of 8. They served together and survived. It's just impossible to imagine, like, the mindset that would tell you it was a good idea to take your 8-year-old son to battle with you. Less lucky was Charles Edwin King, a 13-year-old drummer boy who became the youngest soldier killed in the entire war at the Battle of Antietam. And there was also Willie Johnston, who was the youngest ever recipient of the Medal of Honor. He was given it at the age of 13, but it was for battlefield bravery at the age of 11, where he was the only drummer not to abandon his instrument during a chaotic retreat when most of the soldiers he was with dumped all of their gear.
And in fact, in September 1861, the War Department decreed that it would no longer discharge soldiers on the ground of minority. So this business about, like, why don't you get him off the battlefield? Washington was saying, we will not help you get your child off the battlefield if they've run away from home and signed up for the Union Army. you will not be able to get your boys discharged. Not because we think it's a great thing that they're fighting, by the way, but because there are so many parents and guardians writing to us saying we need to get our children removed from the battlefield that we cannot bureaucratically cope with the demand. And so they just decreed, oh, we're not doing that anymore. That's how big this issue was.
Wow. Well, as for Clem, as the war drew to a close, he did manage to transition back to civilian life. He completed his high school education in 1870, and immediately the first thing he wanted to pursue was admission to the US Military Academy. But despite his very distinguished military record already, Clem struggled to pass the entrance exam multiple times, in fact.
So he pulled his musket on the professor and said...
Exactly. But it was actually his widespread fame that prompted President Ulysses S. Grant himself to intervene, and he appointed Clem as a second lieutenant in the 24th Infantry Regiment on December 18th, 1871. So it really is kind of not what you know, but who you know in the end.
Well, I mean, you know, Johnny Shiloh was famous. He couldn't enter the service as a lowly grunt.
Right.
The 24th Infantry was one of the so-called Buffalo Soldier Regiments of black troops commanded by white officers who served in the various Indian Wars. Clem later enrolled in and graduated from the Artillery School of the U.S. Army at Fort Monroe, Virginia. He served in the Spanish-American War, the Philippine-American War, and he was a brigadier general by 1915 when he reached the mandatory retirement age of 64, making him the last Civil War veteran still in the service.
Yeah, he lived to be 85 and is buried in Arlington National Cemetery, and retired as a major general, having had 43 years of military service.
I guess if you start young, it's easier to have a glittering and long career.
Tomorrow.
Nothing spells success like having been quoted in both Handel's Messiah and Coolio's Gangster's Paradise.
Ditch the ads and get a Sunday episode when you join Club Retrospectors. Patreon.com/retrospectors.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.